again? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you. Bible's at hand. Let's ask God to prepare our hearts to receive his word. Father, what a pleasure it is to come together as believers, to come to a place that honors you and worships you in song and worships you in our hearts. We thank you, God, that you've called us to be a part of your family. And I pray for everyone who's here this morning. We pray, God, that you would just bless this time. I pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to read this truth and to embrace this truth. We're so grateful, God, that you have given us your word to study and to look into and to encourage us in our time of need. We also know that your word corrects us, Lord. It directs us on a day-to-day basis. So thank you for the hunger that we have for your word. And we just pray that you would guide and direct. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in this place. And help us to remember these things. Help us to remember the truths that we read this morning, that we would apply those things in our lives and live lives of abundance and live lives that are fruitful for your glory, that these things that we do would last through eternity. So I thank you for this time. Bless it now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When he was asked for his qualifications, this is what he said. I can sleep when the wind blows. Interesting response, wouldn't you say? This puzzled the farmer. It's like, what a strange thing to say when you're asked that question. But this farmer took such a liking to this man, this young man, that he decided to hire him anyways. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the middle of the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if everything was secure. They found the farmhouse shutters had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set by the fireplace. The farmer's tools had been placed in the storage shed. The tractor had been moved into the garage, and the barn had been properly locked. All was well. It was only then that the farmer grasped the meaning of that young man's words, I can sleep when the wind blows. Preparation, being prepared, being ready for things. I find that to be such an important thing in the Christian faith, and that's what I've entitled today's message is always be ready. Always be ready. Last week we looked at a message, never give up. And this morning as I continue to look in this week, it's like, man, we always have to be ready. As believers, we can't just go through life with blinders on. We can't just go through life hoping everything will work out good. No, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Kind of like this farmhand. He was ready for the storms that would come. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you ready for the storms that will come in your life? Or are you one of these Christians that just hopes everything goes well because you're not prepared? So there needs to be this preparation. Are you ready when the weather hits? Because storms will come. Difficulties, you will experience those things. If you've been on earth for any length of time, you know difficult things, difficult times come. Are you prepared for when those times come? What if next week was going to be a very difficult week for you? It'd be nice to know that, wouldn't it? Well, here's your warning. Next week's going to be a tough week for you. Be prepared. Be equipped. Be in that place where you're ready. And I think as Christians, we should always be ready. And the great thing is, God's always in control. God knows what our tomorrows are. He's already willing to prepare us. And if we would just listen to him. Isn't it funny that sometimes God shows you things before they happen? Has that ever happened to anybody? That God revealed some truth to you before it actually happened and that prepared you for that event, prepared you for that activity? Sometimes there's a check in your heart. Sometimes you're wondering, why did that come to my mind? That's God preparing you. So we need to be careful and we need to listen and we need to always be ready. Read with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 8. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Give me your attention real quick. If you remember, if you've been with us for these last few weeks, Paul has been traveling around with Barnabas and with some of the other disciples. And they've been going from town to town, and they've been going into the synagogues and teaching the truth about Jesus Christ, revealing who Jesus was as the Messiah to the Jews that were there, to the Gentiles that we were there. And certainly Paul and them were coming up against persecution. But here as they enter into this next city of Lystra, they don't go into a synagogue because Lystra was a town that was generally mostly Gentiles. If there was a synagogue in that town, there would have to be, I think it's at like 10 Jews have to exist in a town for them to establish a synagogue. So there wasn't one established in this town. But God gives them an opportunity to minister to this town. And look at what the opportunity is. Again, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Luke tells us with great detail, without giving a name, that this person has never walked. They've been crippled their entire life. Might I submit to us that this person was completely helpless? And I find sometimes in our lives we need to realize there are times when we ourselves are completely helpless. Have you ever been in a season in your life where you thought there's no answer to my problem? Where there's no way I'm going to be able to get out of this? For this man, this crippled man, he was in a position where he couldn't do anything. And what is interesting to me is Paul took notice to him. Again, notice what it says. Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking. Now, if you go back up to verse 7, at the same chapter, it says, and they were preaching the gospel there. Paul and Barnabas and his people were preaching the gospel in these towns. So what this man was hearing was not just a conversation that Paul was having. He's hearing the gospel. And notice it says, Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul was a man that was always ready. And the first thing I want us to put it into our minds is we always need to be ready to meet a specific need. Okay? It's like looking for those opportunities for us to minister someone. Looking for those opportunities to pray for some. As Paul's sharing the gospel, he isn't just sharing the gospel and saying whatever people do. No, he's looking around the room. He's paying attention. And he's looking into this man's eyes, and he sees something unique. He sees something different. And I want to ask us, how do we see someone's faith just by looking at them? Like, how do you know someone has faith? We usually know a person's faith by what? By their actions, right? Well, I'll submit to you that this man was in such a need, he was in a needless position that he was looking for an answer. And as he's listening to Paul share the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's hearing about a life that can be transformed. And I think it was written on his face. I want that. I want that. You know when someone's hungry for truth. I experienced it in my life many, many years ago. My wife and I think we had been saved maybe 5 years, maybe even just a few years, when my family came to visit us in South Florida, and we went to a Christmas Eve service, and my brother was not saved. None of my family was saved, my mom, my dad, or my brother. And I'm telling you, my brother sat on the edge of his seat that entire service. And as the pastor was giving the gospel message, as he was giving that altar call, if you will, to ask people to come and receive Christ, my brother was just, I could hear him saying, I'll do that. I want to do that. He was eager. He was hungry for it. And there are going to be people in our lives that are hungry for truth. There's a lot of things out there, but we got to understand there's people out there that are hungry for truth. And maybe you know some. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your family. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's your friends that need to hear the truth. And Paul intently looked at their face and said, I see this. Paul was looking for an opportunity. I want to encourage you this week, look for opportunities for people that are hungry, people that want to hear the good news. Look into their eyes and you'll see what God wants to do in their lives. Notice what Paul does here. Again, he's in verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to heal. said to him with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. I love the fact that Paul had such boldness and confidence that he was able to speak to this man who had never walked a day in his life, and he believed in his heart to tell him to stand up. Guys, don't you think that your faith, our faith, plays a big part in helping other people come to faith? Yes, this man had to believe he could be healed, but I believe Paul believed he could be healed in such a powerful way that he was able to say this with absolute confidence. I don't think Paul even hesitated. He taught the people there. He was speaking the truth. He watched for needs. He was looking around the room as he's speaking. You can tell when someone is engaged. You can tell when someone is hungry for the word. And we just need to be sensitive to those things. And I would even submit, ask God to show us people that need to hear the truth. I love to encourage people that are in a place in their lives where they're feeling discouragement, where they're in a place where they're feeling hopeless. And I want to encourage them in what it is they're going through. I think that's important to look in that way. Paul saw something in this man, and he took action upon it. And that's what I think. We need to always be ready to meet a specific need. You don't know how God will use you. And I guess it has to start with the fact that you believe that God will use you. Right? Listen, there is nobody in this room that disqualifies themselves from being used by God. You know what I love about the Bible? It tells us that God used a donkey to get his message across. I mean, I'm not calling you a donkey. But if God can use a donkey, he can surely use us. Be someone's blessing this week. Write that down. Be someone's blessing. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a stranger, again, a coworker, anyone. Be someone's blessing. I think people want to be encouraged. And I think that, in fact, just this morning, I was reminded, someone came up to me and encouraged me. They said, I wanted to encourage you, Pastor Rob, and they shared what the Lord had revealed on their heart. What a blessing that is to receive that, to know that. And I just think we need to see more of that in the world that we live in, because there's a lot of discouragement. I mean, a lot of us are just holding on to the very end. Anybody else in here feeling weak in their legs, you know, feeling tired? Look at the response, verse 11. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laodicean language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. So the response of this town is that these guys are gods. And here's the thing I learned about this. They had no religious background. They didn't know anything about the Jewish religion. They didn't know anything about Greek philosophy. They didn't know anything. All they knew is that all of a sudden, someone who never walked a day in their life, all of a sudden stood up, and you know what? They gave credit to Paul. They gave credit to Paul. And when I see that, it's like, it is so important that we don't take credit for what God does. But their resources were, well, thank you, Paul. And it's such a blessing to know you're used by God. I'm sure for Paul, it was like, wow, God used me to heal a man. I'm sure that was a blessing. But Paul doesn't want to take the credit. Paul doesn't want the attention upon him. They looked at what Paul did, not what God had done. We have to be very careful with that, don't we? That when we see someone either healed or we see something happen in someone's life, that we make sure we give God the glory. When we give God the glory. Several areas in my life, in my past, I've seen God do amazing things. And it's like, I didn't do it. And you know, many of you prayed for me during some of my difficulties. You didn't do it. God did it. We give God the glory. But their focus was on what Paul had done. And I tell you, I don't want anyone to ever look at me and say, well, thank you, Pastor Rob, for doing that. Don't thank me. Thank the Lord. Give glory to God. They looked at what Paul had done. But notice in jump down to verse 15 real quick. We'll get there in a minute, but it says, Paul says in this verse, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things. Useless things. Paul calls their focus of useless things because they're focusing on man. Their gods were useless because they worshipped Zeus and Hermes and powerless gods. And I love the fact that Paul says those are useless things. And isn't that true in our lives, that if we focus on anything of value, of power, anything other than God or this Holy Spirit, that they're useless things? We can't hope in anything on the horizontal, ever. I mean, there's a lot of great people. There's a lot of godly men and women in the world, and we're thankful for the relationship that we have, but we're infallible. Or is it fallible? One of the two. We're fallible. We can make mistakes. So our focus has to be upon God. And Paul says, listen, don't focus on useless things. Focus on the Lord. His message was about the truth, and his message was speaking the truth about Jesus Christ, so much so that this man who wanted to be healed was healed. Meet specific needs. What are they? You know, the thing is, we don't have to be looking for big needs to meet. We just have to look for small needs. Start there. Start by communicating with someone. Start by having a conversation with someone. That's what people want. They want to know that people care. You know? My devotion this morning actually was about that. It was about this gentleman talking about his mother who had experienced in California an earthquake, and she lived by herself. And after this earthquake, she walked outside to see if there was anybody else there that she could talk to, and there was nobody outside. So she went back into her house, and his heart hurt because she went through this trying experience with nobody around her, only to hear that a few hours later, one of the neighbors called him and said, just want to make sure you're okay. That's all we have to do to encourage someone. To meet a need, check in on someone. Call someone. As God puts people on your heart, step out and take action. Step out and take action. You know what's also interesting to me? That the Bible tells us in verse 8, a certain man is all we know. We don't know his name. We don't know his career. We don't know his position. In fact, I wrote down in my notes, we don't know anything about this guy. And in fact, other than what, two verses? He's never spoken of again. Do you know why that is, I think? Because we're not to be focusing on the miracle itself. We're supposed to be focusing on the miracle worker. Our focus should be upon God. And when you focus on God, I believe he will show you needs that can be met. I believe he will do that. The next thing, look at verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave him without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. What's interesting to me about this is that initially, Paul and Barnabas and them, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't understand the language that they were speaking. And it wasn't until later that Paul and Barnabas realized they're sacrificing to us. They're going to make sacrifices to us. They're going to worship us. Listen, we always need to be ready, number two, to give God the glory. To give God the glory. I love the fact that Paul says, we are men just like you. We're the same nature. And I want to say this. I'm no different than you are. I make as many mistakes as you do. I have a friend who says to me all the time, Pastor Rob, could you pray for me? Because God loves you. And I don't mind praying for people, but I look them right in the face and I say, God loves you too, you know. God wants to hear from you as well. I'm nobody special. Paul's nobody special. None of us are anybody special except for the Holy Spirit that's in us that makes us of any value. And I just love the fact that here's Paul preaching a powerful message. Someone gets healed in his presence, and he's like, I'm just a man. Doesn't that really set the tone in our minds that whatever happens in our lives happens because of what God has done? To give him the glory. Hey, I say it all the time. There is something really important about being encouraged in your walk with God. That someone would say, you're doing a good job, or man, I'm watching your life, and it's amazing to see how faithful you are. That's great. But we need to make sure that God receives all the glory. We need to make sure that the attention gets focused on him. There's gifts and talents in this room, and praise God for them. And I'm thankful that people are using them. But they're gifts from God. They're his gifts to point him, to point us to him, to point people to him. It's so important that we do this. The wrong page. Here's the wonderful thing about it, being a child of God. We are just men and women, right? Powerless. But do you know that God wants to use you to do amazing things? God wants to use you to do this miraculous type stuff. And I think what we really need in the church today is people that believe in the power of God. Do you believe in the power that God has? Do you believe he can do anything? He can do the impossible. And he can do it through you. And I fear that we limit God because we look at ourselves, right? And listen, I think of the same thing. I'm like, well, he probably won't do it through me. Who knows? Right? The Bible says, pray without doubting. There should be no doubt. Listen, if he doesn't do it, okay, that's God's choice. But let's believe it. Let's be the people that say, maybe God will do it. So maybe there's someone in here that's going through something. Maybe it's a financial problem. Is there anybody around you that's saying, let's pray about it? Let's see what God's going to do about it? I mean, I'm standing here before you as a pastor of a church that we've been looking for a property for so many years. I'm still kind of pinching myself, waiting to wake up that there's actually a property for sale. So, I mean, it's we have to have that faith. We have to have that faith that God will use us. And if we have the faith that God will use us, I believe he will use us. It's that opportunity of stepping out and believing it. The Bible calls you blessed and highly favored. You're the apple of God's eye. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you so much. He doesn't love Paul more than he loves you. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love your spouse more than he loves you. He loves us all unconditionally. So I think there has to be this sense of let's believe that God will get the glory. Let's believe that God will use us. Let's be ready. Let's be prepared at all times. I feel like God has gifted me as a person that likes to encourage other people, but I feel like that's what the world needs today. We need people that are willing to encourage. There's a lot of Debbie Downers. There's a lot of people that will tell you how bad things are. There's a lot of people that tell you how awful life is. And it's not the best, right? Compared to heaven, it pales in comparison. But let's live the abundant life that God has given to us by believing that he will use us. And then make sure you give God the glory. One thing I wanted to point out, and again in verse 15, how Paul says, where am I? He says, men, why are you doing these things? We are men with the same nature as you and preach to you. Now look at this. And preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. I just want to spend a moment here because I feel like God wants us to turn from some of our useless things. I do believe in my life, and I do believe in maybe some people in this room's life, that there's some things that you're focusing on that you need to turn away from. Turn from the useless things. Now, that can be as simple as worry, right? I mean, we all worry. I think there's a difference between worry and between worry and concern. It's good to be concerned. But do you worry? Do you stay up late? Turn from those and focus on God. Turn from those things. Turn to God. I think it's a reminder for all of us. Because we can put so much of our hope in other things. How much of our faith is in other things. We need to put our faith in God. And we've talked about this in our staff meetings. You know, God has taught us in this church to trust in him. Because when you have nothing else to trust in, that's all you have is God. So make sure your trust is in him. Paul shares with them the God of creation. Did you notice that? He doesn't go back to Old Testament scriptures like he did with the Jews. He starts in verse 16, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, speaking of the creation, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. I see this in verse 17. Number one, I underlined it in my Bible, he did good. I mean, we all talk about God is good, right? He did good. Notice what he did good. Paul says, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Paul's focus is, God provided your basic needs. Praise God. Man, I am so selfish because I want God to do more than that in my life. I don't want just the basic needs. I want the blessings. I want the abundance. And it's like, Lord, I need to be content with just giving me sustaining life and the things in this world. He is good by just giving us those things. I think sometimes we live in such a state of abundance that we can become discontented with all this other, that we don't have this other stuff. You know? And maybe I'm preaching to myself, but it's like, I just was reminded this week, God, you give us rain and you give us fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. We're to be people that are filled with joy. Are you joyful? Are you happy? Are you excited about your walk with God, your life that he's given to you? That's what we need in this world. As people that are willing to be filled with his joy and be reminded of that. And even after Paul explains it in verse 18, it says, and they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. No matter what Paul said, still wanted to sacrifice. They still wanted to focus because that's all they knew. That's all they knew. Thankful for the people. I am thankful for the people that have helped me in my walk with the Lord. I'm thankful for the men and women that have walked out my life with me, encouraged me. That's what we need to be in each other's lives, is encouraging to each other. Oh, I wanted to share this. This psalm. Look at this psalm. This is speaking of God. You open your hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. Talk about God being good. He opens his hands and meets the needs of every living thing. Have you known God to meet all your needs? And notice I said needs, not all your wants. Has God met all your needs? Has God met all your needs? Look at what God has done and be encouraged in what he will do. Let me say that again. Look at what God has done and be encouraged in what he yet will do. Has he been good in your life? Have you seen him provide for you? Have you seen him bless your life? Why is it we forget about that and we're so worried about tomorrow? We're so worried about the next thing. When we should be looking back saying, look what God did back there. Let's believe that he'll do that again. Giving him the glory. The last thing, always be ready to be there for someone else. Always be ready to be there for someone else. And to me, this is the most powerful. Look at these last two verses. Verse 19 says, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, the ones that gave him a hard time in the previous towns, now caught up to them. And having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Okay, give me your attention one here, real quick. The very people that were worshiping him, sacrificing to them, are turned that quickly, and now they want to stone him and leave him for dead. If that doesn't show you how the nature of human beings is, and that we should be ready for people to turn on us in the midst of in a split second, I don't know what would. It's like, I mean, with Jews from Antioch and Iconium, those, again, that were causing the problems that Paul had in the previous cities, catch up to them and convince the people in that town, these guys aren't real, after they just witnessed a legitimate miracle. I mean, if people aren't fickle, I don't know what are. Are God's blessings from yesterday enough to carry you through today? How quickly we forget. God, you met my needs yesterday, but man, I got a lot of needs today. Lord, are you going to leave me here? We forget. But look at verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. This last thing, always be ready to be there for someone. I don't want us to underestimate the importance of us gathering together as a church. Did they actually stone Paul to death? Doesn't say. But they sure did leave him there as if he was dead. They dragged him out of the town and supposed him to be dead. How do you make it mistaken someone to be dead if they're not really close to being dead? And the church comes around Paul. And it doesn't say this, but it gathers around him, and there's no doubt they were praying for him. There's no doubt something happened when the church came around Paul. So much so, a miracle happened that he was either dead or almost dead, and then was able to get up and go back into town. I, for one, somebody stones me, I'm not coming back to your house. I'm just saying. But notice Paul's obedience to God. He's always ready to speak the truth, no matter what people do to him. I mean, in some instances, he was warned and he left. Other instances, he stoned him and left for dead. He goes back into town. Don't underestimate the importance of being in the presence of someone and sharing your faith, being that person that is going to remind someone to pray. You know, as believers, we should be always wanting to be the first one to say, let's pray about it. Let's pray about this situation. Is there something dead in your life? Is there something that's dying in your life? Are you praying about it? Are you getting other people around you to pray about it? This is what we need. We need people that actually want to pray. There is power in the gathering together of believers. There's power in that. Don't underestimate it. And I'm grateful for the times that I get to spend one-on-one with some other men in the fellowship, just spending time having a coffee, talking, catching up, praying for each other. It's so powerful. So I'm encouraging you. Yes, we probably all want somebody to come around us and minister to us, but be a minister to someone else. Because it's a double blessing. When you bless someone else, you become blessed. Right? You become blessed. So look for those opportunities. Be ready for God to use you. Be ready for God to do a miracle in your life. And to be watchful at people's hearts and the things that are going on in people's lives. There's a gentleman in our fellowship that's going through some tough time. And I get the blessing of being able to spend time with him, pray with him, and encourage him. Excuse me. Encourage him in his marriage. Encourage him as a father. Encourage him as a worker. As a Christian. And to see the fruit of our time together is a blessing to him and to me. And it's one of those things like, wow, we're so busy that we can't find time to get together. Don't let those opportunities pass. If you're here this morning and you're going through something real tough and you're trying to do it on your own, can I encourage you not to? Can I encourage you to find someone to speak with, to talk to? You know, I mean, if you're a man, come up to me, I'll talk with you. If you're a woman, come up to me, I'll find a woman to talk to you. It's important. But there's people that want to help. And this is the thing that I've my entire life as a Christian, that we put on this facade, we put on this, everything's good, I'm fine, work's good, And yet we find at home, the marriage is bad, relationship with our kids are bad. It does us no good to try and do it on our own. So be ready to get help from the Lord by stepping out in faith and asking for help. It's the thing we can do. It's important. And if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, our last stop before we take communion today. 2 Timothy 4, Paul's writing to young Timothy in verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Share the word. Proclaim the word. Here it is. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Paul looked at young Timothy and he encouraged him. Timothy, be ready. Be ready to preach the truth. Be ready to share the truth. And I love the fact that he says, convince, exhort, and rebuke. Listen, we all want to be encouraged. We all want someone to come alongside and say, it's okay, you'll be all right, just work a little bit harder. But maybe there needs to be some people in our lives that say, you know what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is wrong, and you need to turn. We are living in days where they are looking for itching ears. They're wanting people to tell them what their belief system is okay. And they're turning away from the truth. Let's be a church and let's be believers that are willing to speak the truth to people so that they hear that truth and have an opportunity to change. Amen? Amen. Always be ready for God to use you. We're going to spend time in communion this morning. And maybe this is a time for us to remember what Jesus did, but also say, Lord, help me to see. Help me to be ready this week. Help me to be open to the opportunities that you will give to us. So as we close in prayer, the gentleman will grab the elements and then we'll hand out together. I'll ask the worship team to come on up and we'll spend this time in communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. How grateful we are for the Word of God that speaks into our hearts. We thank you for this unnamed man who had faith and a desire to be healed. Thank you that Paul was able to identify with that need. Help us, God, to see needs in this church. Help us to see it in the world that we live in. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us and enable us to be men and women that are willing to meet those needs that are around us, to encourage people, to correct people, to love on people. And I pray that you would increase all of our faith to believe that you want to use us, Lord, that you want to move in our hearts and move in our lives in such a way that we're able to touch another life. Thank you, Jesus, for setting the example. Thank you for coming and dying on that cross for us. And as we spend this time in communion, Lord, we're reminded of what you've done for us. So help us. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be available to you. We love you, Lord. We praise your name in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.